You're listening to the Moon Griffon Show podcast on KPEL965.com.
News Talk 96.5 KPEL, Brobridge, Lafayette, broadcasting from the Matthew James Tax Pro Studios. Find them online at MatthewJamesTaxPros.com.
This hasn't happened since 2021. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Under 3% inflation. The annual rate inched lower last month, better than expected.
The consumer price index rose 0.2% in July. The increase followed a decline in June. However, for the year ending in July, the CPI nudged under 3% to 2.9%.
That's Fox's Jenny Casola. President Biden just put out a statement saying we're making real progress fighting inflation, but he says prices are still too high, blaming large corporations sitting on record profits not doing enough to lower prices. Now, he and Vice President Harris, who replaced him in the 2024 Democratic race, will be at an event tomorrow in Maryland focused on lowering prices.
A new poll out this morning from the Financial Times and the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business says 60% of voters want Harris to abandon Bidenomics. As former President Trump and his running mate J.D. Vance travel battleground states, there is no surprise the former president is emphasizing economic issues.
Fox's Mike Emanuel. There will be a Trump rally today in North Carolina focused on the economy. In New York, the judge presiding over the trial former President Trump was convicted in for falsifying business records again rejected a Trump effort to remove Juan Merchan from the case. Sentencing set for next month. A legal victory from prison for Alec Murdaugh, who's serving a life sentence convicted of murdering his wife Maggie and son Paul.
South Carolina's state Supreme Court will now hear an appeal from convicted former lawyer Alec Murdaugh, who was denied a retrial after complaining the court clerk in Colleton County was tampering with jurors during his 2023 trial. A lower court did rule that court clerk Becky Hill held inappropriate conversations with jurors. She resigned earlier this year.
That's Fox's Evan Brown. There are hundreds of thousands of power outages in Puerto Rico because of Tropical Storm Ernesto, which is forecast to grow into a hurricane next. America's listening to Fox News.
For anyone living with everyday aches and pains, there's a lot of things you can try. You know, tough it out, bite the bullet, grin and bear it. Or you can try something that has helped so many other people, Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor uses a unique formula of natural ingredients that addresses the inflammation where pain starts. And Relief Factor doesn't just mask pain for a short time. It helps reduce or even eliminate it all day, every day. Wherever you're hurting, your back, neck, joints, or muscles, in about 3 weeks or less, you'll see a difference and rediscover what it's like to feel better and live better. So if everyday pain is affecting your life, don't go with the mind over matter approach. Try Relief Factor instead. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF and save on your first order. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Fight pain naturally.
Should you buy? Should you sell? Where do you start? Join us each Tuesday morning at 7:30 for Real Talk About Real Estate. Our industry aces, Walter Campbell and Deborah Pierce with Keller Williams, offer advice for buyers, sellers, and investors. From flipping to financing, they'll answer your questions and share tips on how to do it right. Real Talk About Real Estate, Tuesday mornings at 7:30 on News Talk 96.5, KPEL, on air and on the app.
What's dangerous and stupid and can cost you 25 grand? Excavating without calling Louisiana One Call. So dial 811 before you dig. It's the law.
Bikers Against Child Abuse empowers children to not feel afraid of the world in which they live. For more information, visit bacaworld.org. Our helpline is 866-885-9474. BACA, breaking the chains of abuse.
This hour of the Moon Griffon Show is brought to you by 1% Lists Acadiana. Call Shannon LeBlanc today at 337-522-0682. Save on fees, not on service.
The views expressed in the following show are those of the hosts or hosts only. They do not represent News Talk 96.5 KPEL or Town Square Media.
Hello, welcome to the Griffon Show. Great to have you with us. Hump day. We are here, baby. Everybody looking forward to the weekend. We are closing in on it as today we get over the hump. All right, 844-766-6607. It is a Matthew James Business Tax Reduction Hotline. If you want to be part of the program, you can always email me, moon@moongriffon.com. A couple things real quick. By the way, I got a great list to Liz Murrow, Attorney General, join us at 9:32. Ten Commandments, some other issues. Senator Kirk Talbot at 10 o'clock. He will join us talking about insurance and what he's seeing. I know they're trying. We'll get a chance to talk about that. I'm going to keep the insurance stuff up front, folks. And then I have a young lady on at 10:32, Rochelle Whittle. She's a film. She writes film, produces movies. The movie is Protocol 7, dealing with vaccines. And anyway, I get a chance to talk to her. I want to say the COVID vaccine, but we'll get a chance to visit with her, the movie, how it came out. It's supposed to hit the theaters, I think, on Friday. And it's Chris Reeve, I was talking to Chris, said, wait, when he's going through all that COVID stuff, he said, you wait till they write movies about this. And we really found out what went on. So anyway, young lady out of Lafayette, Louisiana, too. So, interesting to see what happens. So, anyway, all that is the program unfolds. All righty. By the way, Omar, one of the squad members, she won her primary. And I was watching and listening and all the money they ran against. And if you look at the districts she's in, it's basically mostly a lot of Muslims. And in general, you know, this is their person. This person is anti-America, anti-Jesus, anti-Israel, anti-everything. Can say what she wants to say because they come from a district that will not vote her out. She was never going to get beat. I heard that. I know where two of the squad members got beat. And when they said she was going to get beat, I back off. Every time we hear this is going to get beat, this is a landslide. You notice it never comes true. I said, I ain't going to beat her. My first thoughts were, how are they going to beat her in that district? I mean, that's where Muslims go to live. That's one of the places they're building up. This is what they've done in every country. They go build up certain areas. Why are you thinking, Paris? Is it? Yeah, Paris. Islam or Muslim? The mayor of the city.
He's Muslim.
Yeah. So you know why? Because they've come in there, and that's what they built up. And so they're building up areas in America, and that's one of the areas that they've built up. Okay, so I'm just telling you, I'm not going to get into anything else except, and I know she hates us, hates the United States, but she'll always be there. She'll be there for as long as she wants to. She's controlled, and she's a leftist, and she's a progressive and crazy, but that's... Those people, there are people that want people in certain offices to be anti-God, Jesus, and anti-American, anti-Israel. I'm just telling you what they want. I was listening to Mark Levin last night. He was talking about how this ticket of Waltz and Harris and Waltz, however you want to call it, don't matter. They both hate the country and they hate Israel and they hate Jews. They do. That's what he was saying last night. He said he'll stand by that, and he should. So, well, she's married to a Jewish man. I don't care. You got the Jewish community votes Democrat for the most part. Don't know why. I can't figure it out. So, I'm not surprised. A lot of people was hoping. I mean, hoping she's going to get beat is one thing. But sometimes you look at a race and you go, I'll give you an example. John Alario, kingpin, great legend of Louisiana, who single-handedly almost ran this state. Nobody was going to ever beat him in the district he was in. Republicans tried one time to beat him. They wasted every penny. You wouldn't go beat him in that district. They don't look at him like they should look at him in that district. John Alario should have been wiped off politically. He hurt this state. He still is. But in that district, nobody was going to ever vote against John Alario. Kingmaker, kingpin. And he never took responsibility how bad the state is, why he ran the state for 40-something years. 48 years. Senate president twice, Speaker of the House twice. Always on important committees, always tight with whoever the governor is. Changed the Republican because he couldn't be Senate president. I didn't say he was a liar now. But that district, I'm just telling you, I could go pick up districts. Cleo Fields district. Cleo Fields can stay in the district he's running. He can stay congressman till he dies. That district ain't never going to turn on him. Okay? They look at some of those people as doing great work, even though they really don't know what they do. So it just got certain districts that you just wasting your time with. Some people don't feel that way. I'm just telling you. I do. So Kamala Harris is making comments. This is a lady who has not done an interview, okay? 23 days, I think, Joe, 23, 24 days. She won't do an interview. So Trump goes on with Elon Musk on X. And the Harris campaign rips Trump's interview with Musk. She was invited to go do one, too. First of all, there's no way she would sit there for 2 hours. 20 minutes. She won't sit there for 2 minutes. So I don't understand it because, you know, I'm not as bright as a lot of people. So Trump gets asked to go on. Kamala Harris gets asked to come on. Separate times. Trump goes on stage 2 hours. According to this, breaks all kind of records for people listening on a program like that. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. That's what they're saying. Kamala Harris won't do an interview like they did with Trump. Trump, they covered everything you can imagine. Trump sits there for 2 hours and does an interview, and Kamala Harris won't do a five-minute interview because they're going to run the campaign like they did with Biden. They're going to figure out a way to get mail-in ballots some kind of way. They don't want, just like they didn't want Biden out there, they don't want Harris out there either. That she's doing some kind of stump speech or rally. They don't want her out there. That bothers me, but the average voter doesn't bother them. Because the average voter is just going to pull a lever for a DNR and they're just going to be happy with that. They don't really care about what they may go through. Harris is ripping Trump for an interview that she won't go do. I don't understand that. She don't want to do a debate on Fox. Joy, if they ever decide to do a debate on Fox. They got one on ABC. And by the way, the people heading up ABC and Disney, they're all giving to Kamala. Trump's willing to go take a bullet, no pun intended, for us. She's not willing to take a bullet for the people she represents. When I say a bullet, I'm talking about simple questions. Could you imagine Kamala Harris on a show with Mark Levin or Rush Limbaugh or Dan Bongino? Could you imagine her trying to answer questions? Yeah, there's Trump, does a debate on CNN. Of course, that whole debate was a sham in the fact they were just trying to get Biden out. And it worked. But how do you rip somebody? You won't do an interview. You won't do an interview with anybody. So you criticize the interview that you won't go be on. She ought to do one now. Say, I'll do one, Elon. And then do it for 2 hours, Kamala. Let me tell you something. Her handlers don't want to do an interview for 2 minutes. Could you imagine Kamala Harris doing a two-hour interview? Can you imagine the mistakes and lies and things that she would be coughing out if she was doing one? They want to run the same campaign. Hide Kamala. And that's what they're doing. She don't want to do an interview because she can't answer anything. They ask anything about the border, the economy, the border czar, inflation. She's going to spit all over herself. She's all part of that. She's going to ask you, see, in a regular election cycle, I want to go back to George Herbert Bush and Bill Clinton. Now, Joe, you might have been too young. Joe's laughing. Joe's in for Walker for a few days, I think. Remember to ask George Bush, what's the loaf of bread cost? He really couldn't answer, could he? Why don't they ask Kamala Harris what a loaf of bread costs now that y'all been in office for 4 years? Or what's the price of an automobile now? Everything's skyrocketing. Everything's too high. If you ask the question, Are you better off 4 years? Are you better off than 4 years ago? I mean, everybody would answer, what? But Kamala Harris can't answer a question, folks. She can't. The debate with ABC would be set up for her. It would be set up for her. You know? Kamala's hiding from the media, but the media's not making a big deal about it. If the media would go do their job and do like they did to George Bush, okay, or George Bush Jr. with the recession, what people are paying, they don't want you to know how bad it is out there. They don't want you to know Americans that are hurting just to pay for a meal to put on their table. They don't even talk about it. Back in the day, barely with a Republican that was an incumbent, they'd be talking about it every day. I remember I'm going into people's homes and saying, this is coffee table issues. We're having problems paying our bill. We're having problems paying our insurance. They wouldn't do that today, would they? Where's the mainstream media? Why won't they go interview families? Find out how tough it is out there for the average person because of their policies that Kamala and Joe Biden did this to us. See, back in the old days when America was really America, until this newfound America led by Barack Obama, Trump tried to revive it. He did a heck of a job. And Kamala Harris couldn't even win a Democrat primary. You know, Kamala Harris, Joe, has never gotten, not one time, a Democrat Central Committee vote. Never got a vote to be president one time by anybody in the Democrat Party. Not one time. Never had to go through the process. She was horrible when she ran 4 years ago. She could be president of the United States if the media and the leftists and the world leftist leaders have it their way. This woman, who never had to go through the process, could be president of the United States. That ought to scare everybody. Let's take a break. 844-766-6607. You're listening to the Moon Graffon Show. It's the Matthew James Business Tax Reduction Hotline. Take a break. Be right back.
Cost of car insurance is killing Louisiana businesses and families, and your state senator, Greg Miller, is a big part of the problem. Greg Miller, as chairman of the Judiciary A Committee, repeatedly blocked or weakened bills intended to reduce the influence of personal injury lawyers on our car insurance costs, like legislation that would have penalized lawyers who file frivolous lawsuits, and HB 24 that would have required the plaintiff to prove the injury was actually caused by the traffic accident was not even allowed to make it to the floor of the Senate. Senator Greg Miller uses his powerful chairmanship to protect his personal injury attorney buddies. But that should come as no surprise, since Greg Miller's campaign coffers are filled with cash from the same personal injury attorneys. Call Senate President Cameron Henry at 225-342-2040 and ask him to remove Greg Miller as chairman of Judiciary A so we can finally lower the cost of car insurance.
Paid for by Louisiana's future is now.
I would love to thank y'all for supporting Raging Cajun's, the original Cajun season, and Raging Cajun's delicious line of seasoning, rubs, roux, gumbos, black eyed peas. You get it. We do it all. Raging Cajun's products are all made right here in Lafayette. And now, thanks to our listeners, Raging Cajun's is one of the fastest growing brands in the grocery stores. This food is great, folks. I love it, and you will too. Raging Cajun, the original Cajun seasoning. Ask for them by the Raging Cajun name. Raging Cajun seasoning. You're going to love it.
Louisiana is unique. The food, the festivals, even the bugs. It's termite season. Did you know termites are responsible for over $1 billion worth of damage in Louisiana alone? For over 60 years, J&J Exterminating has been shielding homes and businesses. 100% guaranteed against termites, pests, and mosquitoes. Louisiana-owned, customer-focused. J&J Exterminating.
Call them today, make the pests go away. J&J Exterminating.
Get the shield.
Yeah.
Do you create?
No.
Hi, hello. Welcome back. Moon Griffon Show. Great to have you with us. 844-766-6607 is the number if you'd like to be part of the program. Matthew James, Business Tax Reduction Hotline. It's amazing to criticize Trump, who's going on every show, every TV show, every debate they want. His first debate's going to be on ABC. Trump ought to be the one saying, I'm not doing that. Trump's not going to ever do that. It's just not his style. It's not. By the way, Disney executive overseeing ABC's news donated to Kamala Harris, raising questions about a possible debate rigging. Let me tell you something. Trump don't care. Trump's going. It's a shame between now and September the 10th or whatever that deal is, you may not hear nothing from Kamala Harris. And the media don't care. I played yesterday. Kamala Harris was shut down immigration, illegal detentions centers. She's going to shut them down and let people just go. She's telling people that. At the border, think about that. People are going to vote for Kamala Harris, who's the border czar, and they protected on that too. Just think if you had a kid that was killed because of fentanyl, or you had a kid that was raped, or you had a family member that was killed because of illegals. Here's another story. Biden-Harris agency freed illegal alien in the U.S. only months before raping, murdering an 11-year-old girl. See, they're not worried about that. They really, you, folks, when I tell you they don't care that that's happening, they got a picture of the cute little girl and they got a picture of the murderer, 11 years old. They don't care. You cannot care about the United States of America and just open the border. You can't even, you don't, this is what bothers me, that people would vote for Kamala, and you can't tell people this. You can't show it to them unless they had a family member that was raped and murdered. They can get that. We can all get that. But this is really happening. That's what I understand, how anybody can vote for Kamala Harris. Well, Trump, the heck with Trump. Trump wants to stop this. We'd have built the damn wall. We could have stopped it and made people come here legally. I have no problem with somebody coming here legally. House Judiciary report, Biden-Harris agency freed illegal alien in the U.S. only months before allegedly raped and murdered an 11-year-old girl. By the way, the murder of the girl was an unoccupied alien child. Unaccompanied alien child. God have mercy. Biden-Harris policy. How can this not register with people? I can tell you, though, the problem. People are going to get mad at me, but that's okay. If you're a person that believes killing a baby in the first, second, or third trimester, just kill it. You probably don't care about somebody being raped. Ooh, man, I can't believe he said that. I'm just telling you. You don't care about a kid coming in a womb? You probably don't care about a kid unless it was your kid. This is, by the way, and I'll get to Walsh a little later in the program because I got some guests coming up. I got a thing I want to play. It's funny, he's crying now. You should never denigrate another person's service record. The vets are saying we're only denigrating your lies. See, that's what they want to do. He wants to hide behind the military deal when he says something. Just because, and I said this before, just because you're in the military, just because you're black, just because you're white, you don't get to say things just because. This VP pick, I think, is a perfect pick for Harris. They so much alike. But I got some stuff. Play some audio of him a little late in the program. Might not get to it till 11. But when we get back, Attorney General Liz Murrell will join us. Looking forward to it. Take a break. Be right back. When you think about how you'll spend your money in retirement, what comes to mind? Probably travel, sunny beaches, and spoiling your grandchildren. But a recent survey found that over 30% of every dollar a retiree spends goes to taxes. Baby boomers were told for years to save money in their IRAs and 401ks and pay taxes later. Well, now that day has arrived, and boomers are shocked to see a third of their money going back to Uncle Sam. John Blanchard and the Matthew James Financial Group can help. What if you could protect all or most of your retirement wealth from future tax rate increases? Achieve a zero or near zero effective tax rate for most of your retirement years. Find out more. 337-366-8366. Isn't it time you got a second opinion on your wealth and retirement outlook? Learn how you could potentially kick the IRS out of your IRA. 337-366-8366 and online at MatthewJames.com. This is Moon Griffon talking about another great Louisiana company, Hudco Roofing. Louisiana has some pretty crazy weather at times. Torrential rains, gusty winds, especially up north. Hail, and of course, hurricanes. You got to remember your roof protects everything, you and your family and most of your possessions. And that's where Hudco Roofing comes in. These folks aren't just your average roofers. They're the number one roofing company in the state. Whether you need a repair or a brand new roof, Hudco Roofing has you covered. Hudco is a CertainTe Select Shingle Master and takes every roof all the way down to the decking to make sure there's no hidden damages. Hudco Roofing is also a state certified installer of the Fortified Roofing System. And that's a big deal, especially during hurricane season. Hudco specializes in residential and commercial roofing systems and coatings. Anywhere in Louisiana, you can get a free roof inspection and quote from Hudco Roofing. So go to HudcoRoofing.com. This is Moon Griffon. I trust Hudco Roofing of Louisiana, and so can you.
Do you have over...
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Louisiana.
This message presented by the LHSAA and the Louisiana High School Athletic Directors Association.
To some, a baby's babbling doesn't mean much, but it does. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Learn more at AutismSpeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
This hour of the Moon Griffon Show is brought to you by 1% List Acadiana. Call Shannon LeBlanc today at 337-522-0682. Save on fees, not on service.
Hello, welcome back. Moon Griffon Show. Great to be with you today. Hump Day. Matthew James Business Tax Reduction Hotline. If you want to be part of the program, 844-766-6607. You can email me, moon at moongriffon.com. We're honored to have our Attorney General right here in the great state of Louisiana, Liz Murrow. Miss Liz, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to be with you, Moon.
Yeah, great to have you back with us. And it's a couple of different topics we're going to cover, but the first one I want to cover with you is the Ten Commandments, because in a state law now, tell us how this law is working. I know there's a lawsuit. I'm going to get to that, too. But tell us how this law is supposed to work. And is this supposed to be posted, like, in every classroom? But talk a little bit about the law itself and what's supposed to happen.
Well, the law is pretty simple. It says that it has a size associated with a poster that needs to be posted in classrooms, including higher ed, so K through 12 higher ed. There's no poster that's actually been produced to be posted yet,
okay.
Which we'll come back to in a minute relative to the lawsuit. But we did get sued about it over the summer, even though there's no class, it's not posted in any classroom anywhere. And so we've been defending in that lawsuit. But what the law does is say that you have to post the Ten Commandments, and you post it in with a context statement, and you can post it with other documents illustrating its context as a kind of a legal foundational document in our legal history, so, or in our country's history. So there's the context in which you post them is left to however the poster gets designed by whoever wants to design a poster and donate it to the state. There's no public funds that are being used to create and post these posters. So that's kind of basically.
So let me ask you a question on the poster stuff. Is this one for every room? Is this just one in the building? How does that work?
No, I think the law says they go in every classroom.
Okay, great, great. That's okay. That's what I wanted to know, because you know a lot of times we see Ten Commandments. I'm thinking, who's against Ten Commandments? If you don't believe in God, read the Ten Commandments. It's a pretty good way to live your life and encouraging in that aspect. So let's talk a little bit about the lawsuit now. So the lawsuit is because they don't want people not to see that you don't need to kill or steal. What's the deal with the lawsuit? Hey, I mean, I like to know those things.
The lawsuit is a challenge under the Establishment Clause and Establishment Clause jurisprudence, saying that it violates the Constitution to post the Ten Commandments. And, you know, I think that issue is a lot more complicated than maybe people understand. It has been litigated in the Supreme Court several times, all the way up to the United States Supreme Court. And there's, you know, at least one case where the state law was struck, or the individuals, it might have been a municipal, you know, posting in that particular case. But, and then there's another case where it survived judicial review. So mm-hmm. We're kind of looking at both of those precedents, and the law was written in a way that it allows for a context statement. And so what we've been looking at is how do you produce a poster that has a context statement that illustrates that it can be applied in a constitutional manner.
Yeah, so this has already been done. And by the way, let me ask a question about this. Is this something that's basically a state's rights issue? Like if a state don't want to do it, they don't have to do it. Nobody's forcing anybody to do it. Our state decided to do it.
Well, I mean, I think that in the context of First Amendment fights, it's a federal fight under the Bill of Rights and the Establishment Clause jurisprudence. And the law, you know, requires it to be posted in public school mm-hmm. classrooms and higher ed and public schools. And so that's a directive from the legislature. But how you develop the poster and what the poster, what the context that's built around the poster is okay. Really where the fight is.
Okay.
The lawsuit based challenged the law and said that there is no way that this can be a constitutional law. And that's just wrong. I mean, I think we had a press conference to show a bunch of posters that were ideas that we came up with. And, you know, some people thought they were stupid ideas, but that's irrelevant. The point is they're constitutional ideas. And so whether you think they're stupid or not, or you come up with your own idea, then, you know, we could come up with a poster that had the Ten Commandments and the Code of Hammurabi in it. And that would be a constitutionally applied, that would apply that law constitutionally. And that's why I think their challenge is going to fail.
Yeah, you, Liz, when you got to represent something like this, because I'm kind of curious, how much input do you put on with legislators when they're trying to pass a law? Are you always involved, somewhat involved, or they got their own lawyers to tell them what's constitutional and what's not constitutional? Because I know as Attorney General...
All of the above.
Okay, you got to defend a lot of this, and that's why I'm asking that.
Yeah, sometimes they ask my opinion, and I can tell them what I think the kind of legal parameters are and what the you know, kind of what their navigational beacons are and give them what my preferences are. I mean, if they're doing something in a way that I think is going to be flatly unconstitutional, then I would tell them that. I mean, this law is not. I mean, it allows for a context statement, and that's exactly what the Supreme Court said can be constitutional. And so it really depends on what the poster says and how that material is presented as to whether or not it violates current jurisprudence on this. We could have a conversation for an hour about constitutional litigation mm-hmm. over the Establishment Clause.
Mm-hmm.
There is a movement to send that back to the states, and there certainly is a view of Establishment Clause jurisprudence that it has gone too far, and that the pendulum kind of overcorrected, and that our legal and history, religious history of this country, and the foundational kind of approach to religion when we created the Constitution was not as restrictive with regard to religion as some of the jurisprudence has treated it. So it is a very active area of litigation.
I'm going to throw a question that you may say, oh my God, I didn't think about this, or maybe you did. So you put one up in a classroom and somebody comes in there and rips it out and tears it up. And are they going to say, well, I had the right to do that. It was my freedom of speech. I know I'm throwing this at you, but I know how people are.
The classroom, you know, but they couldn't. I mean, you know, if they did that to a teacher's poster on, you know, multiplication tables, they would be vandalizing the material, the teacher's material in the classroom. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't think anybody has the right to come in and vandalize the classroom and tear stuff off the walls. I mean, they don't. That's not a First Amendment right.
I'm just telling you what's coming. Because I thought about that. I said, well, so you're going to have some fool.
It's not protected.
Yeah,
it's not, you know, they can say I'm protesting, but that's not within the scope of what is protected yeah. under the First Amendment.
Yeah.
You know, we've been through this where they vandalize buildings and they go out and protest. It is not within the scope of protections under the First Amendment to have a protest where you tear things up and destroy buildings and destroy, that's not protected.
I was just trying to think out the box a little bit about, what somebody may do and then claim they doing this in the name or whatever, and they have, and then you have ACLU come in and say they have a right under the Constitution, and I think you just touched upon it. There's no right under the Constitution yeah. to tear up somebody's property.
Right, and the ACLU is already complaining. They're the ones that filed the lawsuit, so...
Well, no, they cry about everything that's the things that are wrong they for and things that are right they against. That's the ACLU. It's always been like that. Hey, Liz, let me do this.
Well,
I want to take
by the way, yes, one of the posters we created is a poster that illustrates some of the litigation that's been brought by the ACLU around the Ten Commandments and the Establishment Clause. So, teachable moment. You can talk about litigation over the Ten Commandments.
I mean, wow.
There's lots of pivots from that point that would be useful, I think, in a discussion with students in a classroom.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Look, I'm going to take a quick break. I want to come back a few more minutes with you. One of the things I just want to talk a little bit about, it hit the paper the other day about you and the district attorney in New Orleans had some disagreements. And I just want to know kind of what's going on. Her name is Liz Merle. She is our attorney general for the great state of Louisiana. We'll come back and wrap up with her. You're listening to the Moon Griffon Show. Folks, you hear me brag about Schumacher Homes. Now's the time. Now's the time to build that custom home that you always wanted. Schumacher Model Homes to discover the ideal plan and interior design that you need. The team at Scott's ready to help provide you with a firsthand glimpse of all the possibilities of your new home. Go to SchumacherHomes.com. SchumacherHomes.com. Is building a custom home something you really feel strong about? SchumacherHomes.com. My friends at Schumacher Homes recently released the perfect French country-inspired home. The Avery floor plan is the perfect blend of both elegance and functionality. The two-story, 2,847-square-foot masterpiece by Schumacher Homes featured four beds and 2.5 baths. Open kitchen layout invites seamless interaction with other people as the guests come over. Visit SchumacherHomes.com, SchumacherHomes.com. Folks, I'm just telling you, you got to go visit them because they can deal your next home, and you're going to be glad you came across them. SchumacherHomes.com. SchumacherHomes.com.
With the summer heat here, let's talk about your AC. You're looking for a reliable, locally owned company that you can trust? Call DAP Concepts AC and Heating. They have been serving all of Acadiana, the surrounding area, and the Gulf of Mexico for over 6 years. For your home or business, DAP Concepts AC and Heating has you covered. With certified technicians specializing in everything from residential to large commercial HVAC systems available 24/7, these guys are focused on providing professional quality work and ensuring customer satisfaction every step of the way. You want the professionals? You want the best? This is them. Don't miss this summer special. 0% financing, up to $3,000 off qualifying high-efficiency equipment. Not only that, they will throw in a free 12-year parts and labor warranty. That's right, 12 years part and labor. Wow. Don't you want to know more about them? Call them at 337-408-8202. That's 337-408-8202. Or go to the website, adap-ac.com. That's adap-ac.com.
John Wayne prays.
Hi, y'all. Welcome back to the Munger Farm Show. All right, Matthew James, Business Tax Reduction Hotline. On that hotline, we have Attorney General Liz Murrell join us. Liz, I saw a little dust up you and the attorney, district attorney in New Orleans, and somebody made a point and said we spend a lot of time and resources to help the New Orleans situation down there, only for them to let them go. And I think that's somewhat correct. Give us what's going on down there. What's the problem and what's happening right now?
You know, I will say that on some issues, I have a really good working relationship with Jason Williams. For example, I spent a lot of time with him yesterday in New Orleans working on some juvenile court issues. But on this issue, it deals with post-conviction relief, and it's an issue that I've had a difference of opinion with his office on since I think the time he came into office. And because they're going in and they're basically reforming old convictions, and in my opinion, they're doing it without the proper legal basis for what they're doing. And more recently, we changed the law during the criminal session to ensure that with second petitions for post-conviction relief. And look, that's an area of law that a lot of lawyers don't understand. You know, lay people don't really understand it or know much about it, but lawyers don't understand it and know much about it because most people don't practice that kind of law. I happen to have practiced a lot of that kind of law. And so we had to change the statute to make it clear that the restrictions on second petitions for post-conviction relief are jurisdictional. They limit the scope of the judge's power, and that if a second petition is filed, then it needs to be served on the attorney general and not just the district attorney, so that I can know about them and engage in them if I believe that that's proper. And because what has been happening is they've been going into court and the defense attorney, the judge, and the district attorney's office all agree that they think the sentence was unjust, and so they just revise it among themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's just not how our system works. I mean, it's if somebody in his office or if he doesn't agree as believe in a matter of as a matter of policy in the habitual offender law, that doesn't change the fact that it was the law that someone was convicted under that law in the past, and that conviction is a settled conviction that's been reviewed by multiple courts since then. It's not something that just because he doesn't agree as a matter of policy with that law or that charging decision that he can turn around and undo it 15 or 20 or 30 years later.
Yeah, I just didn't know if there and like you said, I know you're working together, and that's great. I just didn't know by reading and listening to people. You know, when I get stuff, man, we're giving all these resources and stuff to New Orleans. We focused on New Orleans. I'm not saying you're not focusing on other places because that would probably be wrong. But we've made a big focus on New Orleans, and they're going, man, if we're doing that, then we need to make sure we're getting a bang for the buck. And that's what people are telling me. They didn't give me any specifics. They just said that's what they're seeing.
Well, I mean, I think the press enjoys trying to make it look like there's some, you know, battle royale developing between me and Jason Williams. That's really not accurate. If I have a question about something, I call him and ask him, and he gives me an answer. And I don't always agree with his answer. Okay. And in this particular area, we have a very significant difference of opinion on what the law is and mm-hmm. on what his authority is. So I have intervened in a particular suit. I'm taking a look at a number of others, and I might intervene in those as well. But the one that I intervened in involves a recusal from his office.
Yeah, and the reason why I was asking that because I just
you know, it just sounded like, well, if we're doing all this work and they're just letting them go, then that's not going to get the results that I know you're looking for and the state's looking for when you're dealing with New Orleans.
Well, you know, we always have to keep an eye on the victims. And I think sure. that's a group of people that have not had a lot of attention when it comes to the cases where they've been going into court and letting people out with settled convictions. And a lot of times, and almost every time, the victims haven't been notified about what they're doing. And I think those victims have a voice and they should be allowed to come in and know what's happening in these cases. They believed that someone was being convicted and was going to serve a certain amount of time. And they're finding out many years later that somebody's come in and just unraveled the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's very unsettling for victims of crime.
Yeah, and I know that was one of your calling cards when you ran for office. We talked about crime. Liz, is the crime situation, you know, we read, well, it was down all over the country. Then you read, well, but they're not reporting like they were. When you look at Louisiana in general, when you talk about reporting a crime, how does that work? How do you know that somebody's being honest or you just got to trust that they are?
I think that's part of the job of law enforcement when someone reports a crime, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got to investigate it and determine what happened. Sometimes that's a lengthy investigation and sometimes it's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I just kind of wonder, you know, because when I read, once again, I read a lot, I see a lot, people are doing numbers, you kind of wonder, well, are they good numbers? They're saying it's coming down. The average person out there, and you know this through victims, they don't feel like that's coming down. And that's not a point on you or law enforcement. The fact is we just got a lot of crime now. I'm not talking about Louisiana, but in general. So that's why I asked the question. I'm kind of curious, is crime really coming down? Because I read horror stories all the time, and it just looks like it's so hard to fix that.
Look, crime is different in every location. It's not,
sure.
You know, I think when you talk about crime coming down, I'm going to have to say, like, where? It's in New Orleans. I think the crime numbers, they are down. That doesn't mean that we still do have significant crime there. Mm-hmm. So doesn't mean that we don't still have a job to do there. We have a long job. We have a hard job to do there. We've just, you know, hit the tip of the iceberg there.
Yeah.
We have problems in Baton Rouge. We have problems in Shreveport. They're different in all three of those cities. And, you know, but I would say that in New Orleans, by having more boots on the ground and more aggressive prosecutions, we are affecting the numbers. I think that the statistics that I've seen is a 30% reduction in crime in New Orleans. But there's still a lot of significant crime. I mean,
sure,
I think
sure.
You saw last weekend there were a number of shootings.
Yeah, yeah. It could be worse. You could be in Chicago where there's shootings every day. I pick up
we're
the numbers in a
not have crime.
No, what I'm saying is you pick up and talk about New Orleans, but it's our biggest city. If you go look at Chicago and New York and some of these places in those big, big cities, they're dealing with a massive amount of crime. And let me ask you another question. Maybe you can answer this, maybe you can't. We talk a lot about illegals and illegals that are here. Do they commit a certain portion of the crime? Are they a big part of it, small part of it? Hard to really put a number on it.
It's certainly we have crime that has been committed by people who are not legally present in this country. In fact, the woman who was shot in the French Quarter a few weeks back,
yep.
The three individuals who are accused of that murder are Honduran nationals who are not legal, have no legal status to be in this country. So they do commit crimes. We don't have consistent reporting on how many. And, you know, there's a lot of immigration that's been, you know, what I consider to be improper immigration. The application of the immigration laws have been terrible by this federal administration. We have 10 million people who've been let in across the border. And yes, a lot of them are committing crimes in this country. I can't tell you what a number is because we don't have mm-hmm. a consistent method of collecting that data.
Yeah, I didn't know how that worked out, but you once again, I read it in the headlines and you always get concerned about it. And that's one of the reasons.
The governor and I are trying to come up with some ways to more consistently collect that data. We would like, if even though, you know, other states, what other states do is not outside of our control, but I think inside our state, we ought to be able to work with the sheriffs and work with law enforcement to be able to get a better grip on how many of those cases. But, you know, one case can be devastating. There was a case that was a recent case involving a drunk driver in Lafourche Parish who killed a couple of young kids who, you know, I think they were, I think they were like 19, 20 or 21 young people, boyfriend and girlfriend on the cusp of the rest of their lives. Yep. And they're dead because someone was driving at an extremely high level of intoxication.
Yep. Hey, Liz, got to go. Thank you as always. Always a pleasure. We'll do it again soon. God bless. Thank you so much. All right. We'll be right back.
We're with Walter Kamm.
News Talk 96.5 KPEL, Brobridge, Lafayette, a Town Square Media station, broadcasting from the Matthew James Tax Pro Studio.
We're making real progress.
I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. That's President Biden's reaction to this morning's consumer price inflation report, showing a decline in the annual rate to 2.9% in July, the first time it's dipped under 3 in over 3 years. Fox Business Network's Edward Lawrence is the White House.
President Joe Biden saying that this inflation report shows progress on inflation, but acknowledging prices are still too high and blaming corporations for greed and causing that inflation. Now, for years under the Biden-Harris administration, these prices have been rising faster and beyond what people are making.
Something former President Trump will focus on at a rally today in Asheville, North Carolina. Fox's Aisha Hosni is there.
I've been talking to a few people here. They want to talk about the economy. They've been telling me how hard the economy, inflation has hit them at home, at their kitchen table. And that is exactly what the former president says that he is going to deliver on today. Now, Trump narrowly won North Carolina in 2020.
The judge presiding over the former president's trial in New York has again refused to step down.
Former President Trump had claimed that Mershon should step aside because the judge's daughter and her company have done digital campaign work for Democratic candidates. The former president was convicted in May of 34 felony counts of falsifying business records and is due to be sentenced by Judge Mershon next month.
That's Fox's Tanya J. Powers. In South Carolina, the state Supreme Court's agreed to hear Alex Murdaugh's appeal, alleging a court clerk tampered with the jury in his murder trial that ended with Murdaugh guilty of killing his wife Maggie and son Paul, sentenced to life in prison. There's a search for a convicted murderer in North Carolina. Orange County Sheriff Charles Blackwood says there's a $25,000 reward.
Somebody knows out there that this was planned, and they know who's involved in it. And we hope that motivates them to do the right thing and let us know.
Ramon Alston escaped yesterday while being driven to a hospital, running into nearby woods with handcuffs still tied to a belly chain. In the Caribbean, Ernesto has just become a hurricane. America's listening to Fox News.
President Trump says Newsmax is terrific. Mike Huckabee says he's tuning in like millions of Americans. Newsmax is now the fastest growing cable news channel in America. Watch Newsmax on cable, streaming, or on the free Newsmax app. And Newsmax has announced it plans to go IPO soon. For a limited time, eligible investors can even buy preferred shares in Newsmax, and they come with a 7% dividend. Get the details about Newsmax's planned IPO and shares. Just go to NewsmaxInvest.com. Forbes says Newsmax is a news powerhouse. Get Newsmax shares. You can even buy shares with a credit card at NewsmaxInvest.com. Whenever making an investment decision, you should consult your attorney or financial advisor. And investors are responsible for conducting their own due diligence regarding investments and for all tax and other risks and obligations. Don't miss out. Find out more at NewsmaxInvest.com today.
Court-appointed special advocates, or CASA, are specially trained volunteers that help secure safe homes for abused and neglected children. Don't let these innocent victims slip through the cracks of our complicated legal system. Get involved today. Call CASA at 268-5111. This nonprofit organization moment brought to you by News Talk 96.5 KPEL.
Get ready for something fresh and exciting with The Josh Guillory Show. Josh Guillory brings a new perspective to the airwaves, analyzing news and issues coming out of Baton Rouge in Washington, D.C., and breaking down how they affect you. Engaging, raw, and informative, Guillory knows how to have fun while delivering the latest in politics and current events. With daily features that entertain and inform, you won't want to miss a single episode. The Josh Guillory Show, 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, only on News Talk 96.5, KPEL.
The views expressed in the following show are those of the hosts or hosts only. They do not represent News Talk 96.5, KPEL, or Town Square Media.
Hey, hello, welcome back, Moon Griffon Show. Hour number two of the Moon Griffon Show, Matthew James Business Tax Reduction Hotline. You can email me, moon@moongriffon.com. It is an honor to have Senator Kirk Talbot, who's the insurance chairman in the Senate of the great state of Louisiana. Kirk, when you took this position, you ever thought you was going to have this much fun?
No, I did not.
you didn't know.
When, something
when you took this job, you thought, wow. I bet, boy, I'm gonna have nothing but fun. And then I'm being facetious because my point being is that when you took it, you thought, man, we need to get something done. And I know you enough to know this is what you're trying to do to make sure we get something done. But and there was some good things done with property. But you got to talk to me about what's happening because, you know, we got y'all having meetings, y'all having committee meetings. Insurance companies are showing up, telling what their problem, what they need to do. Businesses are showing up, what they need to get over the hump. Seems like everybody's at the table, but the trial lawyers. So talk to me. You tell me what y'all trying to do, and then tell me what the hangup is.
What we're trying to do, you know, obviously, is find out why we're the highest insurance auto rates in the country. No one around us is even in the top 10. I don't know if anybody that is even in our region is in the top 10. I think Florida used to be, but they're, you know, they've had several special sessions to address property and auto, and I think they are on the path to lowering their rates and getting those stabilized. So that's what we're trying to do. You know, the number one thing is why are rates so high and what can we do to lower them? And, you know, the good thing is we're looking at things we've never looked at before. I mean, I've been in this fight for a long time. And we are looking at every possible factor, kind of like the 30,000-foot view we've got now. As of last week, we got three Senate committees involved, Jude A, Jude C, insurance. We've got two House committees involved, House insurance and House civil law. That's almost, you know, 40% of the legislature right there. You know, that's a lot of members that are working on this. We're looking at everything from medical billing, how you're treated in the emergency room for an auto wreck, advertising by insurance companies, fatalities on roads, this, that, and everything else. Obviously, the main thing that keeps sticking out is the litigation and the severity of accidents and the frequency of accidents with bodily injury. That's where we keep going back to that this is we're just an outlier compared to everyone else. And why is that? Why is it that we have more accidents per capita with bodily injury than everyone else, even though we all drive the same cars? Our roads are bad, but our roads aren't that bad. And there's no correlation that I've seen that shows our road conditions lead to that. There's states that have worse roads than us that have really good rates, like South Carolina. There's states that have really bad rates that have good roads and vice versa. So, you know, those are all the things we're flushing out that we need to you know, start this process from scratch and look at everything. And that's what we're doing.
You know, One of the things I want you to answer, Kirk, if you can, okay, you mentioned earlier, and I've heard other people mention it too, we got to find out why our rates are so high. With all the meetings that have taken place, and you've been doing this for a long time, but you've also been, in your first year of being a committee chair, can you tell us why our rates are so high? Can you give us, I'm asking because y'all talking to everybody, I just want to know, what do you believe the top two or three things are is why our rates are so high? I just think people need to know.
Sure. And look, you're a businessman. I'm a businessman. And you probably have a lot of listeners that are business owners. It's no more complicated than dollars in, dollars out. Insurance companies take in money in the form of premiums that you and I pay every month, and they pay out dollars to settle claims. They pay out claims. So they take in money, money goes out. If the claims they're paying out are higher than the premiums they take in, then they got a problem, right? They're running in the red, they're going to go out of business. So you got to keep the premiums higher than the dollars that are going out the door. So the dollars that are going out the door in the form of bodily injury claims and whatnot, let's start over. For property damage, for the damage on the car, we're no different from anyone else. So if you look at the average car that gets in a wreck, the dollar amount to fix that car, we're not any different from anyone else. When it comes to bodily injury, two things stick out. One, accidents with bodily injury were double the national average. Mm-hmm. Second, the payout to settle a bodily injury claim is twice the national average. So that's why our rates are why they are. Now, there's maybe varying factors that lead to that, but to answer your question, it's no more complicated than that. It'd be like owning a hamburger stand in Mississippi where you buy beef for a dollar so you can sell a hamburger for two. If that same hamburger in Louisiana costs $3, you got to sell it for four to make a profit.
Absolutely.
That's why our rates are where they are.
Well, just listening to you, that goes back to our friends in the trial lawyer business. And I call them the political ones, not just all of them, but the political ones that they always want to beat back legislation that we think will help us. And so just listen to you. I'm trying to lay it right on the feet of the people that need to be laid down to, and I think it's the trial lawyers. Am I wrong?
No, but it might be more than that, and that's why we're going through, this. I wouldn't say it's the trial lawyers per se. It's our system that the trial lawyers work in. Our system lends itself.
Hold on. Let me stop you there.
I
know, but the trial lawyers are the ones fighting to keep the system the same. That's all I mean.
Absolutely. They're not. Look, the only thing that I've ever seen come from the trial lawyers is let's extend the prescription period from 1 year to 2 years. Give us another year to sue clients.
Yeah.
I happen to agree with going from 1 year to 2 year because we're only one of two states that has a 1 year prescription period, which means that if you and I get in a wreck and you hit me, I have a year to file suit. And frankly, that's just not enough time. It might take time for you and I to try to work it out. Maybe I have bodily injury that shows up later on. So there's a lot of good, solid, red conservative states that have all of them, except for one, that have a 2 year or more prescriptive period. I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. But to extend the 2 year prescriptive period in a system that doesn't work for the working poor or the working middle class or any class for that matter, that I have a problem with. So that's what gave me a little heartburn last session where we extended the prescription period, but we didn't fix anything in our system.
Yeah. By the way, and you're talking about fixing it, his name is Senator Kirk Talbot. He heads up the committee, is the chair of the committee dealing with insurance. Well, Kirk, let me ask you a question. So you're having all these meetings. Do the trial lawyers show up to give the input? Are they there to say, hey, let me tell you what we can do? Or are they just there when they want to beat legislation back?
They always have someone from the Louisiana Association of Justice, which is an association made up, I believe, mostly from trial lawyers. So they'll have a representative there. However, I would like to see more, people that are in the trenches that are trying these cases, your run-of-the-mill trial lawyers. I'd love to have them come. I've reached out to some. I might have one coming to my committee meeting on September 6th. I'd like to reach out to our friend Digger Earls, who I'm friends with as well.
Digger's a good, nice guy.
He would like to come. I'd like to hear their perspective. Maybe there's something we're missing. Every time I talk to a defense attorney or a plaintiff attorney, I always seem to learn something new about this process. As you know, I'm not an attorney. So it's hard to not be an attorney and get your arms around this thing. So I welcome their input and I welcome their suggestions.
Yeah, I've come up with a way to fix it since they seem to, and I'm going back to the process that you mentioned, like the process. Maybe the governor, Governor Landry and the trial lawyers ought to go to Baton Rouge and y'all ought to go home and let them fix it. That's why I'm asking that question. Why don't you let them fix it? Let them tell you right. what we're going to do. Let right. them come up with the solution because it seems like
right.
the people are there, the businesses are there, the politicians are there, the elected officials. Everybody's coming. The business associations are there. And the ones that you need are the ones that keep plucking off good legislation that's trying to work its way through the process. So my thought is, why don't y'all stay home? Not that y'all ain't trying, because y'all are trying. And let them go to the Capitol. Let them come up with the laws and rules, and let's pass it, and let's see if it works for everybody, not just them. And I think that's I'm being right. blunt about it, but that's almost where we headed to, because if we go through another year next year, Kirk, and we don't do anything about it, Senator Talbot, then you got to eventually throw your hands up and say, y'all fix it. Y'all tell us what to do that's fair to y'all, the insurance companies, and my God, the people that live in this state.
I agree, and I'll give you a perfect example over the property insurance. I had a bill, Senate Bill 323. We rewrote the entire claims process. So what I did was I went to some defense attorneys. I went to some plaintiff attorneys. I said, y'all need to figure this out. You know, the defense attorneys worked with folks from the LAJ, and I didn't have anything to do. You know, they wrote the bill. They came to me. I know they were hashing it out. It was a months-long process, and we passed a good bill. It passed unanimously on both sides, and the governor signed it. And now we have, you know, really revamped and revitalized our claims process, which I think will be much better in the long run for everyone, especially policyholders. But that's what we need. You're right. You know, I've heard things from the plaintiff attorney say, we need more regular, you know, some of the members of my committee, we need to, you know, we need to hold the insurance companies more accountable. Well, what does that mean?
I know, the
governor said that too. Tell me what that means. Show me a piece of legislation and we'll file it. Show me if insurance companies are doing things here that they're not doing in other states, please tell me and I'll be the first one to file the bill. But haven't seen that. I've heard, you know, it's advertising. These insurance companies, they advertise too much. Well, they advertise in every state. Show me that they're disproportionately advertising too much in Louisiana, and maybe that's causing our premiums to be higher. I've never seen that evidence. I've never seen them put forth any data to support that, but I'd love to see it.
No, I'm just – my theory is if you go through all y'all going through right now to fix this, and we go through another session like last year dealing with this, and we do nothing – and we got to throw our hands up and say, let the trial lawyers do it. Y'all come together and do it. And that's what I think ought to happen. They ought to have to come. Let me take a break because I want to ask you a little bit about some process stuff, and I'll get you out of here. Senator Kirk Talbot, my special guest, he's one of the guys fighting the good fight. He just needs some help, and let's see what happens. Anyway, we'll talk to him a few more minutes when we get back. You're listening to the Moon Griffon Show.
The cost of car insurance is killing Louisiana businesses and families, and your state senator, Greg Miller, is a big part of the problem. Greg Miller, as chairman of the Judiciary A Committee, repeatedly blocked or weakened bills intended to reduce the influence of personal injury lawyers on our car insurance costs, like legislation that would have penalized lawyers who file frivolous lawsuits, and HB 24 that would have required the plaintiff to prove the injury was actually caused by the traffic accident was not even allowed to make it to the floor of the Senate. Senator Greg Miller uses his powerful chairmanship to protect his personal injury attorney buddies. But that should come as no surprise, since Greg Miller's campaign coffers are filled with cash from the same personal injury attorneys. Call Senate President Cameron Henry at 225-342-2040 and ask him to remove Greg Miller as chairman of Judiciary A so we can finally lower the cost of car insurance.
Paid for by Louisiana's future is now.
When you think about how you'll spend your money in retirement, what comes to mind? Probably travel, sunny beaches, and spoiling your grandchildren. But a recent survey found that over 30% of every dollar a retiree spends goes to taxes. Baby boomers were told for years to save money in their IRAs and 401ks and pay taxes later. Well, now that day has arrived, and boomers are shocked to see a third of their money going back to Uncle Sam. John Blanchard and the Matthew James Financial Group can help. What if you could protect all or most of your retirement wealth from future tax rate increases? Achieve a zero or near zero effective tax rate for most of your retirement years. Find out more. 337-366-8366. Isn't it time you got a second opinion on your wealth and retirement outlook? Learn how you could potentially kick the IRS out of your IRA. 337-366-8366 and online at MatthewJames.com. If you're selling
like...
Hi, y'all. Welcome back. Moon Griffon Show on our Matthew James Business Tax Reduction Hotline. Senator Kirk Talbert, who is a insurance chairman in the Senate. Hey, Kirk, what's the process? I know y'all working hard. Y'all doing a lot of meetings. Are y'all going to develop a bill or bills based off of what you're hearing? But if you don't get any input from the trial lawyers, they're going to sit there and pick them off because they always have. So, what's the process of trying to get this done where something works? Because bottom line is, people want to know why the insurance bill is going up so much. It ain't increases. They've always increased. But it's the increased level now that people can't hardly stand it. They can't hardly pay it.
Sure. Yes, I think you'll see legislation come from this. It's just, you know, with all these people meeting with this amount of frequency, I think the natural progression would be to come up with a package of bills that we think will address the issue. Obviously, rates across the country have gone up. Inflation, Biden economics help. But again, there's no reason why we should be higher than everyone else, especially in our region. It's not a regional thing. You know, it's not something, you know, unique to the Gulf Coast. So that's the thing that we're focused on. But to answer your question, I think you'll see definitely legislation suggested and probably a package of bills.
Well, I don't think it's about the rest of the country. I think it's about us. We're outliers to the rest of the country, people in the South. Look, this next question is a tough one, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How important is it that the governor lead the charge on this? Because I think Governor Landry leading the charge on this would get this done. And that's why I'm thinking at the mansion, he ought to bring in all these high-powered trial lawyers that don't want to do nothing. I'm not talking about the average trial lawyer, the high-powered political ones. And they got to get together, because if nothing works, it's not going to be because y'all didn't try. And I think the governor's not right on this one. So I just want to know how important it is. He got to come forward and lead.
It's very important. And, again, I think that looking at what we're looking at, not just the traditional handful of things that we've always looked at, we're looking at everything. I think that's going to give us a lot of credibility to go to the governor and say, look, we've looked at this, we've looked at that, you know, this is where this has led us to, and these are the bills that we think will fix the problem. So it's a good process. All these meetings are public. They're all transparent. Your listeners can go online and go listen to them again, and we can make a lot of the documents and presentations available for the public. But the governor involved in this is critical to have this pass. It's very important.
Yeah, and I'm not. It's not to put pressure on the governor, but the fact is he's the governor, and the governors are powerful in Louisiana. And I just think if y'all go do all this work, has the governor sent people to watch and see what's going on, or y'all going to take it and just go present it to him?
I think he has. I'm sure his staff is monitoring this and watching this, you know, we're talking to them. We're speaking to them.
No, that's good. I figured it was communication. That's no problem with the governor, y'all. We just have disagreements on this. That's why, once again, you got to have the meetings, but you got to have proposals. One of the things that bothers me too, Kirk, is step in the right direction, which I can't stand. And it bothers me to negotiate on something that some of this stuff doesn't need to be negotiated. It just needs to be done. Remember, we're playing I know you noticed we're playing catch up. It ain't like we nick and tuck and we can negotiate and move forward. It's we got a long way to go to catch up with people.
Right. Look, every governor that since you and I have been around have said the same things. We want to grow our economy. We want to grow the middle class. We want to attract jobs. We want to attract Fortune 500 companies and so on. How can you do that if you don't have an insurance environment where the lower class can even afford a vehicle, or if you're a middle class, small business, mom and pop operation, and you can't insure a commercial vehicle? And it's not just 18-wheelers and log trucks. It's HVAC, plumbers. Tow trucks are almost to the point where they're uninsurable. They can't get insurance anymore. School buses.
Yeah, tour everything. Buses,
limousine drivers, all those things. How can any governor want to accomplish what they all say they want to accomplish if we can't fix this problem?
Yeah, the other thing is, how about just the average citizen with two or three vehicles at the house to insure?
We spend more money on auto insurance per income than any state in the country. That is not helping us because we could spend that money on other things. We could spend that money on a better home, on this, on that. We can pump it into the economy, and we're spending way too much of our income on auto insurance when we simply don't have to. There's nothing that makes Louisiana – it's not like property insurance where we're on the Gulf Coast. You know, we have a high likelihood of name storms touching.
Sure,
we don't have any of that with auto. There's just no reason for it.
Yeah. Kirk Talbot, Senator Kirk Talbot. All right, Kirk, we'll do it again soon. God bless. Good luck with the meetings.
Thank you, Moon.
All right, bud. Anytime. Yes, sir. Thank you. All right. Take a break. More when we get back. Rachel Whittle. You don't want to miss this.
As Louisiana's only fiberglass manufacturer and fabricator, C-Safe Fiberglass Grating and Structural Systems has provided corrosion-resistant products to the Gulf Coast for over 45 years. Our fiberglass grating, cable trays, and structural shapes are ideal to replace corroded, rotting building products and can be custom fabricated by the best fiberglass craftsmen in the world, right here in Lafayette. Contact C-Safe or visit our website at csafe.com. That's S-E-A like the ocean, S-A-F-E.com.
This is Moon Griffon. The biggest complaint about solar power is the battery storage. Well, no more. Now, Solar Louisiana offers giant battery storage solutions from the top names like Panasonic, LG, and more. Solar Louisiana will install residential home solar systems with enough battery storage to get you through any outages. And say goodbye to your electric bill as Solar Louisiana will custom fit a system to your electrical needs. Online at SolarLouisiana.net. Your energy independence company, Solar Louisiana. When you think about how you'll spend your money in retirement, what comes to mind? Probably travel, sunny beaches, and spoiling your grandchildren. But a recent survey found that over 30% of every dollar a retiree spends goes to taxes. Baby boomers were told for years to save money in their IRAs and 401ks and pay taxes later. Well, now that day has arrived, and boomers are shocked to see a third of their money going back to Uncle Sam. John Blanchard and the Matthew James Financial Group can help. What if you could protect all or most of your retirement wealth from future tax rate increases? Achieve a zero or near zero effective tax rate for most of your retirement years. Find out more. 337-366-8366. Isn't it time you got a second opinion on your wealth and retirement outlook? Learn how you could potentially kick the IRS out of your IRA. 337-366-8366 and online at MatthewJames.com.
Did you know you...
I heard the call to serve, so I answered. I earned a title and discovered my purpose. I found belonging, an unbreakable bond with my fellow Marines. We fought to overcome adversity together in defense of our nation and its people. I've lived a full life, rich with meaning. And even though I no longer wear the uniform, I am still a Marine. My service has come full circle. I will always look after those around me. I will always uplift and support my country and my community. Because that is the promise I made. That is what it means to be a Marine. Semper Fidelis. Always faithful, always Marine.
Did you know that every year, 1,100 to 1,200 children are experiencing homelessness in Lafayette Parish? The Giving Grace Project, Acadiana's homeless children's outreach, works to provide and support these children throughout the year. Every donation goes to support these children and provide them with backpacks with school supplies, hygiene products, snacks, and more. Go to giftinggraceproject.com to learn more information or text GGP to 53555 and donate today. Thank you.
This hour brought to you by the Matthew James Tax Pros. Find them online at MatthewJamesTaxPros.com.
Hi, y'all. Welcome back. Moon Griffon Show, Matthew James Business Tax Reduction Hotline. 844-766-6607 is the number. Before we go to our special guest, a young lady from Lafayette, Louisiana. She is she actually produces films, actor, does a little bit of everything. Before I introduce her, here's a teaser for a movie, Protocol 7. Here we go.
The medical histories of children that we have seen are strikingly consistent.
You're going to want to read this.
They fake the data.
You said you're a lawyer, and you want to understand why.
Let me see it. This is about children who have been turned into a commodity.
They really don't want this to go to court. Your choice.
Were you aware of the lab's failure to demonstrate efficacy of the mumps vaccine?
Strongly recommended booster shots.
Of course you did.
Fraud upon fraud upon fraud.
Rachel Whittle joins us. Rachel, how you doing?
Great, Moon. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no, I'm looking forward to it. Vaccines and things of that nature. But let's do this. Give a little background of yourself, and then we're going to talk about the movie that's coming out, I think Friday, if I'm correct. We're going to talk a little bit about what the movie's about and dealing with vaccines and things of that nature. So just a little background on yourself.
Okay, yeah. My name's my maiden name's Gidry, so I'm a Cajun girl from right here in Lafayette, Louisiana. We live here now. I'm an actress, a filmmaker. I'm a film acting coach, and I've been acting probably since I was about 30, and so it's been about 10 or so years now, and I love it. I love storytelling. I love filmmaking. I love working on both sides of the camera, and yeah, that's a little bit about me.
So the movie Protocol 7, which is getting ready to open up, tell us what the movie's about. Just kind of give us a general idea and why this movie, why now?
Protocol 7 is a whistleblower corporate thriller. It would be similar to Dark Waters or Aaron Brockovich, and it's based on true events. And it deals with fraud in a major pharmaceutical company. I play the role of Lexi Kaprowski. I'm a small-town lawyer who teams up with the whistleblowers, and together they take a courageous stand against this particular pharmaceutical company. And, you know, in an effort to hold them accountable and expose the fact that they've been putting profits over the health and safety of people.
I can't hardly believe that. I can't believe you would even make a movie like that. They would never do that, would they?
Never.
No, yeah, I saw that.
Definitely something that we see in big corporation across the board is the tendency to put profits over people.
Yeah, it looks like from the from the gist of the teaser that you put out, it gets pretty detailed and looks like a fun thriller. Now, when you say this is based off what truly happened, do you talk about exactly what that is? Or you just kind of, when you're building a movie, you're just building on something that you've heard and the rest, read and investigated?
This movie was written and directed by Andrew Wakefield, who was one of the people who was actually handed these whistleblower papers way back in maybe 2010 or so. And it went into litigation, and he realized that, you know, the tried and true story that happens over and over again is they just keep prolonging litigation and because they can, because they have so much money, they can just prolong things. And so he just realized the only way to get the real story out is probably to make a movie. So he started writing this back in 2012, and it took this long for it to find its
way. Well, then that tells me he did all the homework you could possibly do.
Yes, they've had to do a lot of homework and make sure they've crossed all their T's and dotted all their I's, because we're dealing with actual things. And interestingly enough, a lot of things got revealed back in January, like information, more information has come out, and it's worse than they were even able to portray in the movie. They had limited information. We could only work with what we had when he made the movie. Mm-hmm. And since then, more information has come out. And so you know the story.
Well, no, the question would be, and this is why I asked that, if he's basing it all on a true story, do they mention the names in the story, or you just, the way you do film?
They've changed names. Yeah, they've changed.
That's what I meant. That's what I'm asking. Do you do that?
Yeah, they changed the names, but it's a, you know, the case is in the, you can, it's public. You can go and look it up, and it's not hard to figure out who everybody is.
Okay. No, but that's what a good movie does. It's bringing out a case. It might not be naming names. The true names, all has been changed, but it's the gentleman, the guy that wrote it, is basing this on a true story. And that's what makes this more intriguing. You know, we came through COVID and vaccines and Russian and all that stuff. And that's what first popped up to me when I saw it. Now, I'm not saying you're referring to that. I'm just saying it's based on truth.
Yes. And, you know, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, or, you know, what you really think, something that we can all get behind is the exposing of fraud. Mm-hmm. And we can all get behind the attempt at accountability, trying to hold these big corporations accountable for putting people first.
Yeah, no doubt. No, there's no doubt about that. I was just asking, you know, when I see a movie, I tell people all the time, when I watch a movie, I watch a show, I think about how creative people have to be to come up with any kind of movie, whether it's true or not. You got to be pretty creative to come up with this. In your case, you're basing it off a true story, and y'all have it all documented.
Yeah. The writer, director, it's, you know, he's part of the story.
Yeah, no, it's no doubt
it's
about
his story.
Yeah. When a director, does he play in the movie as well as act, or he just a producer, or does he just produce the show?
Andrew Wakefield was the writer, co-writer, producer, and director. It was also co-written by Terry Rossio, who's written things like The Pirates of the Caribbean, uh-huh, Shrek, Aladdin. So a wonderful writer who's done a lot of great work in Hollywood. He was co-writer on this.
Yeah, those people that write, of course, I'm talking about politics. It seems like they can come up with more angles. And I always tell people it's almost political. I mean, not political, but almost Hollywood type thinking to even come up with something like this. And in your case, when you got the truth and the facts, presenting a movie like this, I would think it's a little easier just because you got so much facts to go by.
Yeah. Telling a real story. It's, I love biopics because I feel like it's just such a great insight to what's really happened or what this person really went through in their life. And yeah, those kind of movies are definitely my favorite. Whistleblower stories in general are my favorite because I have so much honor for the whistleblowers out there who risk everything. You know, I started to realize a couple years ago that if someone is risking everything to speak out on some matter, if they're risking their career or their reputation or their life sometimes, then these are the people that I want to listen to, at least fully listen to from start to finish, and then make my own decision. Because it's like, you know, you don't risk everything for, unless it's the truth.
Yeah. No. I think you're right on my, you know, people you're calling whistleblowers are truth tellers. And there are, mm-hmm, some people in powerful positions, whether it's corporate or political, whatever, they don't want the truth. And that's a shame, because the truth is something that's the best thing in the world, is to have the truth. This is intriguing. I definitely want to go watch the movie. Let me hold you one more quick segment. And the name is Rochelle Whittle. The name of the movie is Protocol 7. Opening up Friday, correct, Rochelle?
It ran in theaters, and we're screening it here in Lafayette, Louisiana, on Saturday at the ACA. So I'm really excited to bring it right here to my own community and show it personally. And then we're going to do a Q&A after with producers and everything. So this Saturday at the ACA, we're showing it.
Yeah, Rachel Widow. Rachel, by the way, I've already been asked to come. I got to see if I can get away. So somebody just texted me,
yeah,
you want
to
come.
You.
Yeah, I mean, are you going to be there for it?
I'll be there. The producers will be there. And we're going to have a great time.
Yeah. That's going to be a lot of fun. Let me take a break. I just kind of Q&A with you a little bit more, and I do appreciate you. Rachel Whittle, a name, actor, filmmaker, local lady. I like that. We'll take a break. Be right back. Five locations. I always make it a point to visit Superior Grill. I love the food there. It's authentic Mexican food with a Louisiana twist. That menu has all your favorites. Nachos, quesadillas, enchiladas, tacos, fajitas, hand-cut steaks, and the best margaritas in the state. You go to Superior for lunch or dinner, and folks, you're going to thank me for it. My lovely bride and I eat at Superior Grill every chance we get. They're on Line Avenue in Shreveport, Government Street, and Holland Road in Baton Rouge, and they're on St. Charles Avenue in New Orleans. But look, their new location in Lafayette is now open. Lafayette, you've been clamoring for it, and now they are open on Collie Saloon. I want to see Superior Grill packed with folks from Acadiana. The best Mexican food with a Louisiana twist is found at Superior Grill. Shreveport, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans, and now Acadiana on Collie Saloon in Lafayette. This is Moon Griffon. I will see you at Superior Grill. With the summer heat here, let's talk about your AC. You're looking for a reliable, locally owned company that you can trust? Call DAP Concepts AC and Heating. They have been serving all of Acadiana, the surrounding area, and the Gulf of Mexico for over 6 years. For your home or business, DAP Concepts AC and Heating has you covered. With certified technicians specializing in everything from residential to large commercial HVAC systems available 24/7, these guys are focused on providing professional quality work and ensuring customer satisfaction every step of the way. You want the professionals? You want the best? This is them. Don't miss this summer special. 0% financing, up to $3,000 off qualifying high-efficiency equipment. Not only that, they will throw in a free 12-year part and labor warranty. That's right, 12 years part and labor. Wow. Don't you want to know more about them? Call them at 337-408-8202. That's 337-408-8202. Or go to the website, adap-ac.com. That's adap-ac.com.
Yo.
Hey, hello, welcome back. Moon Griffon Show, Matthew James Business Tax Reduction Hotline. We are honored to have Rachel Widow joining us. Protocol 7 is the movie. Hey, Rich, just because people are asking me, tell us how all this works with, like you said, the opening and things of that nature. Is it where people can see it? There are other devices, they can go look at it. How's all that working for y'all when y'all put this thing out?
Yeah, so right now you can stream it on a new platform called Yow.TV, Yow.TV. And it will soon, in September, be on all the major streaming platforms. So, yeah, you can stream it now. You can check it out. You can spread the word. And then if you're in Lafayette and you want to join us on Saturday, I'll be there. The producers will be there. We're going to have a great time screening it at the ACA.
At the ACA. So it's open to the public?
It's open to the public. You need to buy tickets in advance. If you just search Protocol 7 Lafayette on Google or whatever search engine you'd like, then it should pop up and it should get you to the Eventbrite link. So if you either go to Eventbrite or just pop it in, Protocol, the number 7, Lafayette, Louisiana, you'll be able to find tickets.
And if not, you can go to Yow.TV, you can actually watch it on that, correct?
Correct.
Okay, when you do something like that, is that something you have to subscribe to get it, and then you can watch it, correct?
Yes, okay. Yes. It's a free app, so So you can just download that app for free. And then I think there'll be like a rental. You can rent the movie on that app, that platform. But it will also be available in September on Prime and Roku and the like.
Okay. So I didn't have a little. Let me ask a question on a movie like this. How long does it last? And can you not get it in the theaters?
It's about an hour and 45 minutes.
Okay.
And it did have a limited theatrical run. So it premiered in theaters. We had a premiere in New York. We had a premiere in L.A. And then it ran in Canada and it ran across the U.S. in major cities for a few days in July.
My question on that is, how come a movie comes in, it stays around for 2 or 3 months, but a movie like you're making comes in, you get a premiere, and then it's gone? Destined to be like that? I'm just asking,
I don't know the technical in and outs of all that, but there was a bit of snubbing. There's a bit of snubbing of this film just based on the content. Big Pharma owns everything and runs everything, and they have a hand in a lot of things in the media. And so there's a limit, I guess. It's really based on word of mouth and telling your friends and family.
Yeah, but you see why a guy like me is going, why is this not hitting the movie theaters for a month or two or three or four, whatever they keep movies? And I got to believe it's political. I mean, that's what it sounds like
to
me, because
there's probably an element. Yeah, there's definitely a political element there. But also, you know, the times that we're in, I think that a lot of people like to watch movies from home now. So streaming is such a great option that they can access the movie right from the comfort of their own home. And a lot of people start to have like showings at their own house. They invite friends. Some people, you know, this isn't the kind of movie they would watch, but it's really great to spread the word and expose the fraud in Big Pharma and to expose the risk awareness, to expand the risk awareness community for vaccines.
By the way, the trailer I thought y'all did a great job with the trailer. I've seen trailers and gone, I don't know if I watched that, but the trailer made me really interested. By the way, Rachel will be speaking at the Citizens for New Louisiana Lunch Friday at Bailey's. I was just informed it's open to the public. I'm taking it. You come and talk about the movie.
Yes, I'm coming to talk about the movie.
Yeah. I'll give us all the details. Can you give us a little bit more details with the movie? How'd you come up with the actors? When you do a movie like this, you got a lot of people that want to be part of it. You got limited. Do you just limit it to the number of people that you go get to be in a movie like this? How does all that work and come together? It's interesting to me.
Yeah, so I wasn't involved in the producing of this movie. I'm friends with the producers, and yeah, there's a casting process that happens. They also, you know, reach out to certain names that they would like to be in the movie, and they got Eric Roberts in this one. He plays an excellent villain, as he always does. And so he's in this. We've got Matthew Marsden, Josh Murray, some really great actors in this. And the script came across my desk, and it had to be God, because I mean, who am I? I'm just this little actress in Lafayette, Louisiana. Yet this story is so near and dear to my heart, because a few years ago, I was exposed to, you know, just the movement and the fact that my daughter was injured by a prescribed antibiotic. And at that point, I realized, wow, I can't just blindly trust Big Pharma to do what's in our best interest. And it wasn't even my doctor's fault. The doctor had no idea that this particular antibiotic had such a poor track record, that had such a poor safety profile, because the FDA is not requiring them to report adverse events on these drugs. And so that's when my eyes were opened to just the fact that we can no longer take Big Pharma's word at face value. We have to do our own research, do our due diligence to protect our own families. And if anything, the last few years have shown us anything, it's shown us that. And it's just so rarely that one size fits all when it comes to pharmaceuticals.
Wow, you must have been a perfect role for you going through what y'all have been going through. It must have been like a God-sent role for you.
It really really was. You know, so often as actors, we're telling stories that we don't always want to tell. Mm-hmm. We're just like, oh, why am I telling this story? And this one came along, and I was just like, this is mine. This is my story, and I'm so fortunate to be in a space where I got to work on this film with these heroes of mine. I mean, these people have been fighting for our safety in this realm for so long, mm-hmm. you know, and there's many life-saving medical interventions out there. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but we just have to be really careful because we got to remember that Big Pharma is a money-making machine.
Yep.
And they don't always have eyes for your safety and your health. Sometimes their eyes are on the prize, the money, the profit.
When you, here's my next question. So you get this job. How hard is it for you to get acting jobs living in Lafayette, Louisiana? Are you as busy as you want to be?
It is. The industry as a whole is very up and down. Things have gotten a lot easier since, you know, the digital, you know, aspect of things where we can send tapes. So I can audition for things in Atlanta, in LA, from right here in the comfort mm-hmm. of my own home because we wow. tape auditions now and we can send them out. But, you know, I started late, but I jumped in when Louisiana was, you know, had a lot of film stuff happening here. And so I was able to book on a lot of different TV shows, and I've done Lifetime films, and I've done quite a bit for living in a small town.
But by the way, did y'all film some of this movie in Lafayette area, in Louisiana?
No, we filmed... Well, a good portion of the crew was from Louisiana because one of our lead producers was from Louisiana, and he brought his crew in. We filmed in Austin, Texas.
Okay. I was kind of curious because my good friend Tim Metcalf said, ask who fed Rachel and him in Lafayette when they were filming. I said, and so I asked him, he said, me. And he wants me to give him a little dig, so I just did.
Well, let me tell everyone how incredible Tim is, because, you know, we filmed Protocol. I was on Protocol 7 in 2022, and it's just now coming out. But last fall, me and my husband and a team of people in Lafayette, we produced, filmed, did everything right here in Lafayette, and it was so wonderful. We had Tim feeding us. We had Jet Coffee giving us coffee. Yeah. We had so many people
cool.
in the community just, you know, well, just supporting us.
The reason why
that'll be another segment.
No, but the reason I'm doing that is I'm eating supper with him tonight, and since I gave him a plug. That ought to cover the cost of my food tonight. That's why I'm giving him a plug.
Yeah.
Rachel Whittle, God bless. Yeah. Protocol 7, folks. Check it out. And thank you so much. God bless. We'll do it again soon.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Got to take a break. More to come. Don't go nowhere. MoonGraffon.com. Listen live.
For the absolute best in local Cajun food, check out Prejean's in their two locations in Carancrow and Broussard today.